All right, so Alex Delgado, first off, welcome back to the podcast. It's good to have you on.
Good to be here.
It's been some time since you've been last on. Last time we spoke about your Navy career, things that you were doing within real estate. And most recently, man, give us a quick little update on what you've been doing, and then we'll start breaking down some of the things that you've been doing in the military and the real estate world.
Yeah, so the last time we talked, I really haven't like bought any more properties. I've mainly just kind of been consolidating what I have, kind of learning the craft of rental management, of real estate investing. And the reason is because I've been going on deployments. I'm going on these 6 month deployments.
Right.
Right. So yeah, we have two rentals. We have the house that we live in. So three total properties. So being able to effectively,
I forgot there's one in Texas.
Yeah. There's one in Texas too.
That's right.
So being able to effectively manage each property from overseas, from thousands of miles away, is I think it's something that I've been able to master personally, because I have to, right? Because when I'm going on deployment, I'm going on a flight, and I'm gone for like 9-12 hours, and then you add to all the mission planning, 15 hours, a lot of stuff can happen in that short amount of time that can have a huge effect on your tenants and on your personal relationship with your tenants.
Speaking about the military, I've seen some photos recently, you in planes looking like you're getting some promotions, man. What's been going on with that?
Yeah, so the biggest promotion was that they made me an aircraft commander. So I'm now fully responsible for this 737, we call it P-8, but a 737 with torpedoes, missiles, and we hunt submarines. That's what we do. As an aircraft commander, the buck stops with me on safety. Yeah. I'm responsible for the crew's well-being and really the execution of the mission. But I have to be able to do it safely. And all of those hard decisions on, do we need to leave now? Can we spend more time out here? Do we have enough fuel to continue staying out here? Those hard decisions have to be made by me. And it's a good honor, but it's also a lot.
Responsibility.
Lots of responsibility.
Big responsibilities.
Yeah.
You've been in the military for how long? The Navy for how long now?
9 years. I started out enlisted as a photographer. I was a flight deck photographer on an aircraft carrier.
Made one of the best videos ever. Star Wars videos.
Yeah, Star Wars videos. That was one of the coolest experience I've had with it. And man, I love videos. I love production. That's why I still do it on the side.
Yeah.
You know, I don't charge an arm and a leg because it's not my survivability. Like, I don't do this business to survive. I do this business because I have a passion for it. Mm-hmm. And I want to keep, I want to keep making money, bringing in other sources of income.
And I think that's also something I enjoy about Airbnb and rental properties is that it's not my full-time job. My full-time job is at Amazon, but I choose to do rental properties and Airbnb because it's something that, I have a passion for. It's fun. I enjoy it and I can make some money, while doing it as well. And, looking at, your rental properties, which one's your favorite, which one do you like the least, how are those evolving, how are those growing right there?
So I love my favorite one's obviously my townhome that I have. That's the
here in Jacksonville,
the first home I ever bought. Used my VA loan on this guy. Like, it's an awesome house, and this thing is a cash cow. I'm consistently making $1,000 at least over what my mortgage payment is.
We had a Jacksonville Jaguars player in that.
We had Carlos Hyde he's one of the, or he used to be a Jacksonville Jaguar. Yeah. I think he's a free agent right now. So
some nice cars.
Yeah, he had some
nice cars.
Some really sweet cars in there, which is kind of crazy. You're just like, it's my first rental, and you have this professional football player like renting your house, and you're just like, holy shit.
Well, we tried doing the Airbnb route in there, and we brought in nothing but doctors and attorneys and professionals. But unfortunately, the neighborhood did not want us doing that, and we had to remove ourselves from that operation there. And Mr. Hyde came through from the Jaguars. And since then, you've seen some success, and it seems like that's been your favorite property, though. We'll get more to where the not success part was, but that's been your favorite property up until now.
Yeah, and the least favorite property is the one back in Texas.
Okay.
The reason is because we're renting that out to a family member, and when you rent out to family members, you really don't make a lot of money.
Right.
So, which is not, and it sucks financially because now, you know, you're like, you could be making more from it, but the benefit of having that home there is that my wife Megan and my son Charlie, they have a place to stay when I go on deployment. They go back home, and then they it's kind of treated as a second home that we pay about $300 a month because we're turned out to Megan's sister or my wife's sister, and she pays just under $300 of what the total mortgage is. But she pays the rest of the utilities and everything. So we, we're just, it's a hit. But, you know, it's also, as if you think of it as a second home, we're paying $300 a month to have a place to stay whenever we need to. There's a crib there. So it's definitely, when you look at it from that light, then, now it's like, hey, maybe it's not so bad.
Right.
But it's my least favorite just because I know, man, that thing could 100% be another cash cow.
Dallas, San Antonio, Houston.
It's the Dallas area. Yeah, and it's within 10 minutes from the airport, DFW.
Gotcha.
One of the largest airports in the central United States.
So, good stuff about Dallas. I've been there a few times, but never spent a tremendous amount of time there.
Yeah, and it's a great location. It's right in the middle between both cities, so really love it.
So you got another nice house here in Jacksonville that you're living in. David Wheatley build. I think it's a beautiful home. I'm sure that experience there is going well.
Yeah, really no issues at all with the house. That's just the house we're in right now. It's a great house, and it's so unique.
Yeah.
And the equity we've seen in that, we've seen it grow to over $200,000 in 2 years.
Yeah.
So we made $100,000 a year on this property.
And you didn't think of, you weren't, you got the home and you weren't like, you kind of went a little bit back and forth on it. Should I stay in the townhome? Should we get the house, work with the realtor? And I'm sure you couldn't be happier that you've made that decision now to go into that
absolutely,
home.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know,
$200,000, you got to be happy with that.
Exactly. Thing. And when you talk about regrets in real estate, you really don't talk about, man, like, I wish I would have.
Yeah.
I wish I wouldn't have bought that property. I wish I didn't buy this house. Like, the majority, 99% of the regrets in real estate are, why did I not buy that house?
Right.
When I should have, and or why did I? And, you know, it's just, I'm just so glad. You know, I had a good realtor. You've had him on the podcast before, George Bloom, one of Jacksonville's best realtors, and. You know, he kind of put the bug in me, and he also convinced me, like, hey, this is a really good opportunity for you to make something awesome here for your family. And, you know, I had my son, Megan was pregnant, and like, this was an opportunity for us to grow. I want to continue growing in real estate. Megan, not so much. She does, but it's like, you have to catch her in a good mood when you're when you're presenting her the idea, pitch. The elevator pitch to your wife has to be perfectly timed. So
everything sells. Everything sells. And I can relate to that. If I look back at, you know, my last 3-4 years in real estate, while I've had many successes, I could look at certain things where I'm like, darn, I should have done that. Or darn, how could I have missed that opportunity there? So I definitely understand that point of view there. Talking about a recent eviction experience. I mean, think about it. You move some people into your home that you're renting, and then it goes south. They decide to stop paying their rent. It's an uncomfortable feeling because you're someone that you have a full-time job. You're working hard. You've got a family. You put someone in your townhome, beautiful townhome, and they decide to stop paying, man. Walk us through that experience and what happened there.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna walk it. So I did a little background and everything. I self-manage my properties.
Right.
And I don't use a rental company. I pretty much do everything through Zillow. And then I have a property management software that I use. And the thing I love about it is that I'm learning so much because by self-managing, a little background, I self-manage my properties. And I do everything through Zillow. I use a property management software called Avail.co. I also manage all the payments and everything. And and I'm a big proponent of that if you're starting out, because you need to know how to properly run a rental unit so that when you eventually do grow and you need to use a rental management company, you know exactly what to look for.
That's true.
100% what they're doing. And you can know if, like, hey, why aren't you taking care of the property that I will take care of it?
Right.
Like, this is – so that's the only piece of advice for management. The downside is that if you make a mistake, it can be costly, you know? So the mistakes I made here was that this renter, I had her last two pay stubs. She was making $8,000 every 2 weeks. So it was pretty good. So on paper, she looked really good. She had a prior eviction from 2017 that she said, hey, it was her ex-husband. She moved out, but the place was under her name, and he wasn't paying rent, so she ended up getting an eviction. And so it was explained, you know, I met her. She was extremely nice, very nice woman, like very right. soft-spoken. So we signed the lease, and the first few months, you know, she paid like a week of...
It's tough. Stuff was looking good.
Yeah.
It was looking like a good situation.
And she was paying ahead of time. She was paying a week ahead, and you're just like, okay, this is awesome. Yeah. I love this tenant. And then it started, she got late one time and was like, hey, what's going on? Like, and I ended up actually went to the house. I knocked on the door. I was like, hey, where's my money?
Right.
Yeah. It's pretty much right. And you know, and she was crying. She was like, I'm sorry. I just lost my dad or my dad's sick. So she had to go. And I was trying to be sympathetic and everything, you know, and like, okay, I understand. And she paid that day and everything. So I was like, okay, no issue. The next month, now it's we had another issue where she was late again, and I, instead of going, and this is when also I was trying to transition to a new software, so I was trying to get her set up on this thing.
By the way, I think it's very interesting that you're leveraging software.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
It's awesome. So I was transitioning to a new software. I was getting her set up on it. So I was kind of giving her the benefit of the doubt because it was a new system, new thing. Mm-hmm. So she was about 5 days late again. And then the next month that's when she stopped paying.
Wow.
It just stopped.
The nerves.
Yeah, the nerves. And I'm freaking out too. Like, I'm trying to hide it from my wife because, you know, I'm just really worried about it.
Don't need any more stress.
Yeah. So just saying, you know, financially, you're just like, oh, shit, you know, what am I going to do? And I told her, like, hey, if you miss another paycheck or if you miss another, if you don't pay rent on time, we're going to go through the eviction process. And that still, she still didn't pay. Even after I said that. So the first day I could request, there's certain documents you have to submit. I ended up using a lawyer because it was my first time doing this. I did not want to mess it up.
Right.
I did not want to give her any reason.
This thing. That's smart.
Yeah. And as in part of Florida... Part of the Florida landlord-tenant laws is that I just can't go and change the locks and be like, get out of my house. She's still entitled to that house completely. So if she, until she abandons the house pretty much. So I had to be nice to her. I had to fix everything in the house. If there's an issue with the house, I saw that. I'm still obligated to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And I put in there saying that, so you put in a request, it takes 3 days for her to respond. If she responds to it, then you have to go down another route.
Right.
She didn't respond to it, so we put in a request to default. And now when you put in the request to default, it becomes actually part of the court. So the first document is like, hey, you have 3 days to please vacate the house or pay rent.
Right.
So it's a formal letter saying, pay my rent.
Right.
That's just between landlord and the tenant. After that, to fully do the eviction, now it becomes a court case.
Right.
Well, the courts aren't that quick. So, okay. So mm-hmm. So we put in this submission, and she ended up with a decision, and we had to wait for the court to accept the case. But once you got a case number, then you can officially send it to her to default.
How many days are we in right now? How many days are we talking?
So from it takes 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
To start to do the full eviction, 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
So
you're working through this 4 to 6 week timeline right now,
and it's business days, so you're dealing with business days. And it takes 3 to 5 days for the court.
Saturdays, no Sundays.
For the court to do anything. And if she wanted to fight the eviction, she would have to pay the rent. But she pays the rent to the court, so I didn't even get the money. And she wants to fight it. It just goes to the court, and then now you go through the court, and then so this is how people really abuse the system. Like if they're smart, there's ways to, and they don't care about evictions being on the record.
Yeah,
they'll just abuse the system. And this is what I think she was getting, eventually going down that road. And eventually, I got into the court system, and I actually searched her name on all Duval County court cases. And a lot more stuff came up than Zillow had put in.
Right.
So
right.
She had about 6 evictions under her name, and she scammed me really well.
Yeah.
So it was that was we eventually got her out. It took about 40 days to get her out.
Jeez.
So 40 days from starting the process, and. Now I have another tenant lined up, but I'm charging $200 more per month than I was with her.
Right.
So I'm kind of recouping my losses here, but all in all, it's sucked financially, on the month-to-month side. But when you take a step back, look at the equity in that house right now.
Yeah.
A similar townhome in the neighborhood sold for $460,000. Your townhome sold for $460,000.
Yeah.
Right? I bought that townhome for $310,000. Mm-hmm. I have $290,000 on the note right now.
Right.
So I could probably sell for $450,000, maybe even $460,000.
Right.
To get the right realtor.
Yeah.
But so the equity in there is still $150,000. At the end of the day, I lost maybe $2,000 to $3,000 for the lawyer fees and rent. But you know what? That's a drop in the bucket when you think about I've made so much equity on this thing.
You learned something too. You've learned how to go through the eviction process. I've never had to evict somebody yet. One time I got pretty close. They decided to stop paying on their 12th month, or they stopped paying on their 11th month.
Yeah.
And I almost went down that process. But actually, there was part of me that actually was hoping I would go down the eviction route with a tenant that hadn't been paying just to learn the court process and what that actually looks like. So if I ever came across somebody that sort of knew how to play the system a little bit, I myself had gone down that road before. So I think you picked up and learned some valuable stuff. And I think when you look at the big picture, when you step back and you're like, look at the equity I actually have in this townhome right now, in the grand scheme of things, you really didn't take a loss on it at all. And surprisingly, they left the home in pretty good condition, huh?
Yeah. No, the home was it was in great condition. It's like someone who thinks they're going to get their security deposit back. And I guarantee you, there's coming full circle, you have to send a certified letter to the last known address, which is this address that they've already abandoned, but it's the last known address I have for them.
So I
sent a certified letter saying I'm keeping your rental, I'm getting your security deposit because you didn't pay rent for 2 months. So,
yeah.
So it's a formality, and you make a copy of it, you send it certified mail, you have the receipt, so they can't come back for you trying to sue you for that money.
New renters going into the home charging $200 more this time. In addition to that, any extra precautions were taken during this one?
Yeah, so this one's a different flavor, right? So it's college kids.
Yeah.
Right? So college, usually when you're thinking college, you're like, man, fraternities.
I've had college
kids
before.
You know, parties. Yeah. It's tenants are tenants, right? Everyone was a college kid at some point. I was a college kid at some point. These guys, one guy's he's a golfer. He's a D1 golfer at a local university. The other one's a D1 baseball player coming from Auburn.
Nice.
Transferring here to play a full ride. Like, so these guys are really good at what they do. The reason I lean towards them is because their parents are signing the lease also.
Right.
So I have the parents and security. I have the kids. So
yeah.
I talked with the parents for the most part. The other thing is I really noticed is the dad mentioned that his son takes he's very anal about his BMW X5, and when you think about when you think about people who like take care of good stuff, you know, if this guy is so careful about his car.
Right.
You know, he's probably going to take good care of where he's at.
Right.
So I'm not too worried about bringing him in, but in terms of extra precautions, I make sure I double-checked all the credit reports. I double-checked all the I even looked them up in the county websites. One of the kids has a speeding ticket. That was it.
Oh, man.
So I found, like, all the speeding tickets I found.
Yeah.
Like, pretty much everything in the county court web system, which...
Smart.
I recommend anyone, if you're bringing on renters, just go whatever county you're in. Just search your name real quick. It's free to get on the court system. It's free to search. It takes 10 minutes to find out if you're... find out any big skeletons, you know, in this person's closet.
All right. Well, Alex, always a pleasure having you on. Best of luck continuing with the military. I know you have an upcoming deployment, so best of luck with that there. And good to hear your bounce back on one of your properties and your success on the other one right there.
Hey, thanks for having me. And please bring me back.
Yeah. Absolutely.